Making magic's what we do. For good friends just like you. Here at TAOM.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, I'm sitting here at home and about to depart shortly to go downtown where we're going to be hosting, this is, I think, the 73rd annual convention for the Texas Association of Magicians. This is going to be, again, just a heck of a lot of fun, as it always is. You know, conventions have been kind of going down in registration across the board, with a few exceptions that have been going up. But this one is one, like others, you know, regional convention that's gone down just a little bit as far as attendance goes, but not in quality. I mean, the people that we're going to be having this weekend, I'm so excited, you know, to see that will include, oh, golly, I just know where to start. Michael Weber, Paul Draper, John Archer, Xavier Spade, Daniel Garcia, Rico Del Vega, I don't know. I'm leaving out so many people. Carissa Hendricks and Paul Draper, so many others. This is going to be just a fantastic convention. Doc Hilford, if I didn't mention already. Anyhow, a lot of really top talent. This is going to be a lot of fun. And as you guys will be listening to this, you're going to be envious and wish that you could be with us. And if you're anywhere near, it's not too late. You can help add to those numbers. I said the 250 or so is kind of what the registration is going to be this year, which means it's going to be rather intimate, which means you get to spend a lot of time with the other entertainers, the talent. Chad Long was another one who was added at the last minute. Even, as I said, just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to be a great time that we can spend with each other. Let me also say that this particular podcast is being brought to you by our new sponsor, theperfecttrick.com, and there are a lot of magic online dealers out there and places where you can go to buy your magic, whether it's brick and mortar or online. And I'm often wonder why people would go out and to buy or to open a new brick and mortar shop when a lot of them seem to be closing. And same thing kind of with online shops now. It's getting so congested. There are so many different options and places where you can buy your magic online. And so whenever that someone offers or opens a new online magic shop, you got to wonder, what is it that they're going to be offering? It's going to be different. Well, I invite you to go and check it out at theperfecttrick.com, and there you can find out what it is that they're going to be offering that does make them a little bit more unique. One thing right now, I believe, is that for any purchase of $20 or more, you get a bonus trick, which is kind of cool. I mean, anything you buy is going to pretty much cost you $20. In other words, you get something free just on your first order, and anything after that then as well. So we'll be talking more about that in upcoming podcasts. But again, I want to thank our new sponsor. And also I want to thank after the Magic Live recently that we had a lot of people who had decided that this is an important podcast to them and they need to financially support us. And so I want to welcome some people who are new friends of the Magic Word. I want to thank, first of all, we have Steve Lancaster, Henry Treffs, also Nancy Henderson, and Mark Pepalia. And I thank you guys very much. Richard Ingram, by the way, also had recently joined. I know we had some others, Andy Pearson, Sean Doonan, Clark Brian May. You know, some of these guys, if I hadn't mentioned their names before, well, there you go, a shout out for you now, because each and every one of those and other 90 or so people who have contributed, I want to thank you all very much for your financial support, because that's what helps keep this podcast on the air free for the world to hear. Because there are a lot of costs that are associated with producing this, including all of our software, and not to mention, of course, whenever that we travel to one convention or another and the hotels and whatnot. I mean, the hotel here for just the 3 nights is going to be over $500. So, you know, it's nice if we can have money that's going to be coming in to help defray those kinds of costs. And out of the 15,000 listeners, it's still amazing that we still have less than 100 people who are members of the Friends of the Magic Word. You can always go to themagicwordpodcast.com, and there you can click on a tab and you can learn more about how that you can participate if you want to be just a one-time donor or if you want to pledge something on a monthly basis. Any and all support will be helpful. Well, moving on, as I said, this is going to be the TAOM and the Texas Association of Magicians, which is going to be just so much fun, and there are a lot of activities that will begin here on Friday afternoon with the dealers being open. from about 1 o'clock, and we have a pretty full dealer's room, as I understand it, because I'm co-chairman of the dealer's committee, and I know we've got about, I think, 17 dealers, something like that, quite a few for the convention, and we are holding it at the Hilton Americas downtown, which is a beautiful hotel. We've held it here in the past, and Houston is an easy city to get in and out of, so if you are within driving distance, please do, but if you want to fly in, we have a couple of great airports to get here then as well. The Houston Hobby is only about a half hour away, and also going up to the Bush Intercontinental is about 45 minutes to an hour from downtown. So no problem. You can get here and out very easily and Uber your way over to the Hilton Americas. Some of the activities that we've got that are going to be planned for this evening, as I recall, first of all, we're going to be having a show that's hosted by David Hira, who was a guest of mine here on the Magic Magic Word podcast in the past, and is a longtime friend and has emceed some of the shows for the TOM in the past as well. Looking forward to that. And that's going to be an all-Texas show, which is going to feature some of the local talent in and around, particularly in Houston, but in Texas also, including Trixie Bond, who will be performing among many other Texas favorites. And then later tonight, we're going to be having a lecture by Dan House. We're going to be having panel discussion that's going to be on producing television and movies, magic on television. It's going to be a panel discussion including Michael Weber and Enrico de la Vega and Danny Garcia. I believe Alex Rangel is going to be involved and several others who have consulted with and for magic people who do magic in the television and movies. Anywho, also collectors meeting is going to be good. Mark Jensen's going to be in charge of that, as I recall, and he's going to, I don't remember what the subject is we talk about, but that should be fun. Anyhow, I'm just kind of giving you a tip of the iceberg of what's going to be happening here today, and so I'm anxious to get downtown, check into the hotel, and we've already on Thursday night, a few people came in early. It was kind of nice to host a few guests over at the house for a little magic and martinis. Had John Archer over, along with Paul Draper and Trixie Bond, all of whom are going to be, again, some of the performers, David Rangel and his son Jacob, and a few other people. So it was kind of nice to appreciate them and a few other people who would stop by. Anyhow, this is going to be a lot of fun. Please come and join us. And if you can't, then this is the next best thing, to enjoy the convention vicariously through the through your auditory canal, so you can listen to us. You can't be here physically. It's the next best thing, as I said. So let's get in the car and head on downtown. I don't live but just a couple miles away, so it's not going to be too far, but I'm still staying at the hotel because, oh, goodness, I know that these things are going to be going on late at night, and I've got so much to put together in producing the podcast, and so come along with me. Enjoy it. This is Scotty out. All right, here we are in the dealer's room, just getting things started to begin with. And I've got Sam and Norma Gaynor. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Glad to be here.
And also Scott Hollingsworth, who was the entertainment director for the Magic Honor for so long, and we were just talking about that very thing. Glad to have you guys here at the TAOM, and it's in our hometown here. So, Sam, you're retired. Scott, you're retired. Mm-hmm. So what's it like?
Well, the good thing about retirement is every day looks like the next day.
And I agree with that.
And so you don't always come to the TAOM, but because this is now in your backyard, you guys come, and so
exactly.
What are you looking forward to?
It's kind of in between vacations, and one good thing is we noticed Trixie's going to be on tonight.
We're so excited.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We've got some amazing local talent that is off the charts fabulous, and so anytime we can see some of our home folk doing some entertainment, I am all in.
That's right, and you were one of them. I mean, you know, we normally have our banquets that Sam Gaynor's the one who plays the piano and gives us a little bit of a musical background, so, you know, thank you then for that.
Yes, that's right. I played my way through college there.
Actually, I'm reminiscing right now when Frank Price was president, and this is going to age us here, and I think this was back in the 80s, and it was down at Music Hall, I believe, and Sam did his juggling act for that one, and you talk about a special time when Sam got to be on stage then. So
because you were not only, of course, a successful CPA and everything, but
juggler,
you were a magician.
Magician,
and I recall
piano
that
player.
Oscar Munoz said he was inspired by you because you did a school show.
Yes.
Remember that?
In the valley.
Yeah, tell about what you were doing back then.
Well, he was in the fourth grade. This was in 1973 or 74. And I went to his school, and what he...
The valley's, like, for people who don't know, down in South Texas.
Yes, down in South Texas. He was, I think, in
McAllen
or Mercedes or Weslaco. And what he remembered was is that when it was over, I went to the principal's office, and I was walking away with a bag of quarters.
Yeah.
And he went home and told his grandmother, I want to be like that man.
He has money. He makes money.
He leaves with bags of quarters.
But he remembered that I rode my unicycle and juggled the three flaming torches and did magic tricks. And I honestly think that it did honestly sort of inspire him. And, you know, to do something like that for someone who's become as successful as he has, there's some real satisfaction in it.
It's going to make you feel good. There are probably two people in the world who I admire as being Renaissance men, and you and Bill Palmer are the two that I know. And I say that because of your multi-talents, as just mentioned about juggling unicycle and magic and everything that you did. But also, like you said, you put your way through school playing the piano. And I remember that you had said that you'd played a ragtime piano because you were working at the
barn.
Yes, at the barn where they had the girl in the red velvet swing.
My first wife.
That's right. And you said also...
Your first wife.
Like Norma said, I had my first wife.
Now he has his last wife. Going on 42 years now. So.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. But also that you had made money, more money, I guess, overseas. You were big in Japan, I guess. Your record album, is that right? Are you overseas? I thought you made a lot of money on selling the record that...
I did. I had three different record albums there at the barn, but they were only sold there.
Oh, okay. I thought it was sold overseas as well. No, just right there.
Yes.
And you did well with the record sales.
They were pretty amazingly successful.
But then beyond that...
It funded a lot of travel around the world back when he was a college student.
Right. And then beyond that, that you are a carpenter from the standpoint, woodworking, and you make some beautiful parquet tables and the kinds of stuff you made, and of course, a world class photographer, in which that you are traveling all over the world, and the calendars that you've made, and your pictures that hang in museums.
Yeah, the Houston Museum of Natural Science has had it there two or three times.
And it's still
I still do a calendar for a local CPA firm.
Yep.
In fact, it's Gardens of the World this year.
Okay.
And I'm just completing that.
I got to make sure I get a copy of that again this year.
Yes, I want you to do that.
Because Doug Mears is still a different company, but he's still my accountant since you've retired.
It's that company.
I'll be getting one from you. That's good. Well, my point is you just do a little bit of everything. You've got a law background and CPA. I mean, this guy does it all. I admire you. You're wonderful. Scott's another guy who does wonderful things.
Yeah.
And so you were saying that we were talking about the Magic Island earlier and that now it's stress-free for you because I'm going to be doing your old job.
Yeah, well, I hope so. And basically, I just want to do close-up magic. I just want to do what I love the most.
You'll be in. I'll depend on you as well.
The big nut trick is my favorite.
Wonderful.
Good, yeah.
Well, I'm just so happy that magic is coming back to Houston and to the community. And I think it's such a great... great lift for everybody to know that we're going to have a community of magic here. And we might get to see some new stars of magic come in.
There have been a lot of people that you have started their careers there, as well as I hope that I can bring in some young people as well that they might launch theirs as well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm looking forward to that because we do have a lot of talent out here in the world of magic, and it needs to be seen.
Right.
And these venues like this gives those the opportunity to work.
Right. And so this TAOM, how many of these have you been to, Sam? Would you guesstimate? And Scott, just think.
More than 40.
More than 40.
Yes.
Same with you.
50.
Because you've been a past president here.
Yeah.
I remember
when I was a kid coming to them, slipping in.
What is it that you guys like best about this convention?
This convention?
Yeah.
Well,
TAOM.
I just got here an hour ago.
TAOM in general. Why did you come to this?
Oh, I like the camaraderie. The camaraderie, the warmness, the friends. These are friends that you have seen grow up, and we've all grown kind of in our autumn years. And it's nice to see them each year, And not just the professionals that are working all the time, but it's the amateurs that are so good.
Right.
And they live and breathe magic, and this is the time.
These are
people that live and breathe magic, but this is the only opportunity they get out and share their stuff with other magicians, and I think that's great.
Sam?
That's absolutely true. And, I'll guarantee you,
I've not been to any of these that I didn't run into somebody in the dealer room or somewhere that says, you're the guy that came to my school when I was in the fourth grade.
With a bag of quarters.
So I'm serious. That really means something for me.
Yeah.
It means a lot when you know that you've influenced somebody. Because, you know, you don't even think of what you're doing.
Right.
But you, it does make an impression on people.
Right. It does. Very much so.
You know, I was just talking with John Archer, who's here also from England. He was talking about how that when he was kind of getting started in magic, and he was performing someplace, and Matt King saw him and complimented him. I mean, it was a legitimate compliment, and he said it meant so much to me, and it also not only meant something to me, that wanted me to pass it on. So he said, when I see people who I don't know very well or just starting in magic, I make it a point to go out of my way to try to encourage them and tell them how much. So that might be something I would encourage you guys then, too, as you see somebody saying, hey, good job. That makes so much a difference for someone to advance.
You know, in the mid-70s, I was in East Texas at Henderson Elementary School in East Texas, and the principal said, sign me up to come. And he said, you know who's coming here in about 10 minutes? Is Bobo.
Oh, Bobo.
Bobo's
coin magic. Sure.
Yes, well, but he and his wife,
they
drove all over East Texas and Arkansas, and so I got to see him.
He wrote the Bible on coin magic.
He did, and he saw my show, and he also said, you know, I've heard good things about you from other principals, and I'm really glad to see. And I said, well, I've always heard about your performances, and just to see you. And we both concluded that we didn't want to be 65 and still trying to ride unicycles and things.
Well, listen, guys, enjoy the convention.
Sure.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
No,
thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Okay.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out. Well, it's still the first day of the TAOM, and as we are beginning to soon have some activities, we have to kick off with our board meeting, and the board, of course, is led by President Jamie Salinas, and he's here with me now. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Fantastic, and congratulations on this past year almost being over.
Yes.
It's culminated in this one big event. So are you excited about what's coming up?
I'm excited about it being over. It is a lot of work. Anybody who puts on a convention, it is a ton of work.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we have a lot of people like yourself who are helping out. We have a lot of committees that are really stepping up. And sometimes a few things fall through the cracks and we have to adjust and put out some fires, but that's with any large-scale production, and that's really what this is.
You know, one of the things, of course, that's a hallmark, I think, of the TAOM, of course, is the fact that it is a regional convention that has expanded to include the world. You know, we have been large, and we're getting smaller, as most conventions, it seems like, are, but the fact is that it's always, again, the hallmark has been just friendliness and the camaraderie. There are people who have been coming for years and years and years, and I know some people may only go to the evening shows, or the dealers may not go to the lectures or anything, but they're here to see friends, you know, and people they only see annually. This may be their only convention of the year they attend.
Well, you know, we just talked about, we just came out of the meeting about changing and how we can evolve to meet the needs of the younger generation. You know, I'm just hit 52 years old myself here last week, and so I'm becoming one of the old guys, or actually I already am one of the old guys.
You got a gray beard like me.
There you go, but we do have to evolve, and that's one of the things we're looking at. But one of the things I really like is that personal attention. Like, for example, I just spoke to Xavier Spade. We took care of him, made sure his room set, gave him a little extra bonus for his, you know, some amenities with his room. And we're just trying to welcome everyone to Houston. I personally picked up Rico De La Vega at the airport, you know, made all the arrangements for these guys to be chauffeured in. So we'll give him a warm Texas welcome. And speaking of that, we actually have a gentleman all the way from Nigeria who is here at the convention. We got people from the UK, Las Vegas, Canada, pretty much all over, even though this is Texas. Based convention.
Right. Well, again, one of the things, you know, as far as attendance goes, attendance is down a little bit, and for those people who are questioning that, I understand we have about 250 people who are expecting to be registered once said and done. And so my point being is, for those of you who are listening then today and missed, you know, getting here for the first day, that you're going to be getting an intimate experience and kind of up close and getting to spend a lot of time, I think. That's the advantage of having a kind of a smaller convention.
Right. I mean, we have really not to be, we have a flood of entertainment here in Houston.
Yeah, golly,
to talk about the flood of last year, but we have a flood of entertainment this year. We got 10 lectures. We had to tweak the schedule. I mean, we're starting early morning. We're going all the way till beyond midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a Midnight Madness show. There's all kinds of stuff going on. tonight will be late into the evenings.
Yeah, Don Haas is going to be lecturing, and then we get a panel discussion. What's the panel discussion is going to be led by?
That's going to be, well, actually, we have quite a number of people. We have Enrico de la Vega. We have his sister, Lisa. We have Danny Garcia. We have
Talking
Michael
about
Weber.
Consulting with the,
it's all about consulting for TV. We have Brent Braun, a lot of different entertainers who have worked in and around television and movies. So they're going to tell us about their experiences, what they've learned, you know, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to get a peek behind the curtain for production, TV and movies.
Right. That's going to be exciting. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg here for the first day, and it's kind of a half day, you know, as we kind of kick off, and tomorrow being a full day. And I know there are so many people who have great lectures, and there's just not room for everybody anymore.
Right. I mean, we are flowing with entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, our last entertainer was Chad Long. We squeezed in, and we were able to put a lecture him, move things around. In fact, we even moved the president's party back, so we can accommodate Chad. We were just, again, busting at the seams with information.
And the president's party is going to be something kind of special, too.
It's a superhero themed event, so you can wear your superhero
Everybody's
costume
invited.
Attire. Yeah, the whole convention is invited. We'll have some music, we'll have a bar, and we'll just hang out and have a good time. That'll be the end of it.
And that'll be the time you can really take a breath.
Yes, maybe.
Because I'm just catching in between events right now.
Oh, it's been crazy, yeah. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Good job. And I'm looking forward to having a great weekend as well. Thanks, Jamie.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. And so from TAOM, that was President Jamie Salinas. Scotty out. Well, we are soon going to be going into the evening show time, and we're still on the first day. And before we do, I run into Alex Rangel and also Danny Garcia. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on?
What up? And you guys are both going to be part of a panel discussion tonight. Tell me a little bit about what's going on.
I wish I could tell you what's going on with the panel discussion. I have no idea.
I can take this one, Al. Pretty simple, bro. Neither do I.
Oh!
And thank you very much. We'll see you. Good night. Drive safe.
There is a panel discussion going on tonight, and they're going to have some of, like, in my opinion, on the board, like some of the most top leading professionals in the consulting world, movie, film world, television world, magic world. Brent Braun, Danny Garcia, Enrico de la Vega, Lisa de la Vega, myself, Michael Weber, and we're just going to be kind of taking questions from the audience about different aspects of filming magic, specifically towards TV and, you know, the differences in creating effects for, let's say, walk-around magic or for the lake.
Is there a question you want me to throw out just kind of start a conversation or something?
Yeah.
A surprise?
Yeah. Yeah, throw out a, what kind of cereal do you like? That was going to be a different...
Should be fun.
So who's going to be there? Is Michael Weber or Nanny? Who's going to be hosting the panel?
I think if memory serves correct, it'll be a tag team effort by myself and actually Jake Rangel is going to be bouncing some ideas. He's done some interviews on his own little YouTube channel, so he's going to be bouncing some ideas with me towards the group of people on the board there.
Now, are these things you think that people will be able to apply to their own magic, or do you think this is something just kind of interest because they may not be working with television?
You know what I think actually would be good is because I think right now there's like Instagram magic, all that kind of stuff's getting very popular.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And it's a totally different branch of magic. It's not...
Even different from YouTube.
100%. Yeah. It's 100% different. And so it's its own kind of niche thing. So I think that they could actually take like some of the things from like camera angles and different things like that, different suggestions and how we actually think about where the camera's placed and how to use misdirection whenever things you don't have misdirection on just a TV screen with one lens. So I think that they can take these things and start applying them to things like that. Other than that, it's just it's kind of interesting to see that side of the world and see that side of how magic is made in a very specific way for the camera, because it's very, very different than what people think.
Instagram does seem to be, kind of the current it thing, even more than Facebook and YouTube and a lot of other things. Were you saying, Alex, somebody earlier, like I have 100,000, what was it?
I was recently with a group of kids in Vegas, and every one of them there had 20,000 plus, but one male magician had like 94,000. And these numbers are becoming less and less uncommon. You know, it's just like a million views on YouTube used to be a big deal.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, cool, you got a million views on YouTube. you know. Like, well, you know, these, you know, I say kids, but, you know, from 18 to 20s, 30s.
Gosh darn.
Gosh darn. Get off my grass, kid.
You're an old guy in your 40s.
Yeah, But, you know, it's pretty dang impressive.
Yeah.
And they're not only, you know, having these, you know, just high robot, you know, viewer content, they're actually interacting with people that, and that's the really cool thing for me to see is that they're talking to them. You know, they get asked a question and they'll come back and answer immediately and then have a conversation within the thread. You know, that's what they do. That's their
job, basically.
It's their job.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
You
take guys like Chris Ramsey, you know what I mean? It's like people think, oh, yeah, but he's just out living the life. That, no, the dude's out working every single day. it's from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed, the man is working. He's a very hard worker. That's why he has that many count. Guys here like Xavier, right, Raul?
Xavier Spade is here. You know, he's in the high, you know, he's approaching 50,000 followers. And at that level, he has to work
on Instagram.
And on his YouTube channel, he's in the high 30,000 or 40,000 now. That's on one of his channels. The other channel's at high 35, 36,000. And, like, he has to almost outsource, you know, material saying, hey, guys, just film something. Send it to me so I can put it on my channel.
Not that he's running out of material. He just wants to have more things to kind of help boost his channel.
Yeah, and to help, you know, it's at this point where he can help other people out to be like, hey, you know, Alex, Danny, Scott, you know, do you have something you want to show somebody?
Right.
Let's put it in front of 40,000 people.
Because I can give you some exposure, too.
Or a community, right?
Community, absolutely.
Yeah. And so you're going to be talking a little bit about that then tonight, you think?
No, not at all.
So you heard it here. You go here later.
I don't know. I actually don't know where it's going to go, to be honest with you. It's I know that from the ones that I've done in the past about consulting, they tend to ask more about, like, what's it like to create for television, what's it like, and a lot of, like, what is Blaine like, you know, what's Cyril like, what's Dynamo like, it's like those kind of things, those kind of questions. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It just depends on, like, what the crowd really wants to talk
about. Okay, how are those guys like?
They're okay.
Yeah, they're awesome. David's, like, amazing. David's one of the most amazing people ever. He's awesome,
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that then later tonight. This is going to be a long night, you know, I think, because Dan House is going to be lecturing, I think, and then we're going to have panel discussion midnight, or what time is it, 11 o'clock?
11,
or?
I think, yeah.
11 o'clock.
Yeah. I think there's something else happening at midnight. Is that tonight or tomorrow night?
It's Dan House lecture at midnight.
No, is he at midnight?
His is at 10, I think.
Oh, is
it? He's at 10, yeah. I don't have a schedule.
There's a collector's thing here tonight also.
Southern PT Central time. That's when we're
I think you just made that up. Oh, here, I got a schedule right here. Bam. All right, this is what we got. We've got the show is at 7:30, Dan Haas lecture 9:30, Texas Collectors meeting 10:30, panel discussion 11.
Okay, so we could be wrapped up by midnight-ish.
Midnight-ish, we'll be done.
Yeah.
And then it's magic in the lobby time.
You never get much sleep, I guess, with these, do you?
No.
Sleep when you're dead is what I've always said over
sleep
there.
Sleep on the plane, bro. That's been my hotel room, so. Yeah.
You guys have been traveling a lot. I mean, you're working here, I know, with Alex and Danny. You're kind of all over the globe.
I'm very lucky right now, man. I'm doing some awesome stuff, having fun, having a good time.
What's your latest project?
The latest project was Mint Box. I finished that up. And then as far as television, I just finished a show for Netflix. We're getting ready to start another production on another show I can't talk about. And then I've actually just been traveling doing lectures to promote Mint Box, actually. So I booked a couple tours. I just finished a tour of Asia that was super awesome. Very hectic schedule, but one of the most amazing tours I've ever done. It was
lectures, performances, what?
Both. Yeah, both. Yeah, I did three shows and then I think six or seven lectures, and it was one of the best times I've ever had. Man, so inspiring. Like those people were. It was incredible. And then back here, do this, and then heading up and doing a Canadian lecture tour, and then Atlanta Harvest, and then I have off for like a month, so I get to sleep.
Hang out during Christmas time.
Yeah.
On Instagram, how many followers? Just out of curiosity, how many followers do you have on Instagram?
Oh, I have such a minor amount. I think like 1,100.
Ooh, you beat me by a little. I think I've got... No, I think I have about 1,100.
Yeah.
Mine's Scott Wells Magic, by the way, in case you want to follow me. So Alex, who are you?
Alex Rangel Magic.
Okay.
I have no idea, bro.
I think I do know this. I think he has around 1,500 followers. Maybe a little bit more.
100 or 1,000?
No, 1,500, maybe 2,500. He's never posted one photo, ever.
Maybe that's the reason.
He's never used it.
He's never used it, but he's got, you know, 2,000
I just got it so I wouldn't
followers.
Lose the name.
Yeah.
Yes. You might get to it eventually.
Yeah, man. I love it. I think, and I respect it very much. It's just I'm doing so much stuff, and it's just I never think about it. I know I'm lazy, basically. I just never think about doing it. So I need to get on it.
Take photos anyway. He was in China for 2 weeks. Ask him if he's got one photo. Nothing.
I have a few photos. I've got a couple. I'm just bad at that. I
haven't shared them with anybody.
I'm just bad about it, man. I'm terrible. Alex and I would travel. He's been traveling with me since I don't even know how many years now, but. Yeah. But it's every time we go, bro, you gonna take a picture of this? Nah. I'm good.
All right, well, it's gonna be almost 7:30. It's about 20 after. We gotta go have a seat over here. Thank you guys very much. Good luck and enjoy the convention. Always good seeing you, friends.
Go watch the
match. Thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll see you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, TAOM, and get ready to go see the show. Scotty out. Well, we just finished the big evening gala Texas Tricksters show, and it featured magicians mostly from Houston, but it was emceed then by David Hira from, I think he's Puerto Rican now, is he? Or is he Costa Rica? I forgot what it was. Rica.
No, he lives in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, okay.
That's right.
One of the Ricas.
It was funny. He came down when he was unpacking. Mm-hmm. He was trying to bum $10, $15 off of the other performers back there because he opened up his wallet and all he had was Costa Rican money.
That is funny. And so who I have with me then right now is Trixie Bond. You recognize her voice over there. She was one of the performers on this evening's bill. That we had some of the people over there included Bob Smith.
Bob Smith, uh-huh. David Rangel, and his son Jake.
Mm-hmm. Jacob.
And Caesar.
That's right, Caesar.
So that was...
Did mentalism. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, we had a well-rounded show that was like you were doing things with the great, you know, children's thing, and Bob had a nice stand-up routine that fooled magicians, I believe. He had some a nice comedy thing that David and his son Jacob had done, and it was. And then David Hira did a great job, I think, of emceeing with a lot of different parts that were comical and emotional and different things. So it was well rounded.
He's always a wonderful mm-hmm. MC. Mm-hmm. Well, you may not know this, but right. This marks the 50th year for me performing at a TAOM. The first time I performed was 1968 in Fort Worth.
Okay.
So.
Wow. And was that the one where you competed?
Yes, I won. That was okay. The first time I won.
I was sitting next to your dad. I was sitting next to Charlie
tonight.
Are you
kidding?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just can't believe
it. I mean, not back then, but today.
Okay. Old people. <Yeah. laughs> It was a lot of fun. There were a good audience. Mm-hmm. I did my family entertainment, mm-hmm. and the highlight for me was having my 3-year-old grandson up on stage helping and assisting. One of my neighbors came to see the show, and she asked Anderson if he was going to be a magician, and he looked at her and said, "I'm going to be a magician with my grandma."
Now, you said that you had performed at a school recently, too?
Yes. To get back in practice for this mm-hmm. show, yeah. I did a little show for Anderson's preschool class, because mm-hmm. I've kind of semi-retired, Scott, that
yeah,
show.
Haven't we? Well, and that was, what, a 20-minute show? Because you weren't sure at first how much time you were doing, and you did, what, 20?
I did 21 minutes okay. and 32 seconds.
Because you had your music time
that's
to
right.
it. There was someone sitting next to me saying, "I wonder if she wants her music turned off." I said, "No, that's part of it. The music's supposed to go throughout the show."
Right.
Yeah. It was well choreographed.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad that it all worked, the music, too.
I needed a refresher course. But the muscle memory came back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this character that you do of Mary Poppins type of a grandmotherly thing that things just happen. When did you develop that character? How many years ago was that?
Oh, my gosh. It was in the late 90s.
Okay.
Been doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's time to transition, I guess.
Did it just come to you, or how did you develop it?
It did. Mm-hmm. It was almost a meditative experience that knowledge came down that I should play this character. I know that sounds weird, but that's exactly what happened.
I mean, were you watching a movie, and then it kind of popped into your head?
Well,
or like
kind of in a meditative state mm-hmm. and okay. concentrating on that.
And then everything starts falling into place, and these tricks, it's like, this
yes,
is perfect.
It just, the costuming fell into place, the tricks fell into place, the patter. Mm-hmm. It was a gift.
When you lecture at different conventions, do you talk about the development of character?
Yes.
And how important is that?
Well, for me, it's always been very important. That's how I develop a show with a theme. That's just me with a little theater background. Mm-hmm. My first character was an Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And then I went to Mary Poppins, and I'm kind of scheming on something new. And I'm not telling you, so don't ask.
You mean you have something even after this post-semi-retirement of finding some other character?
Yes.
Good for you.
We'll see.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Well, so 50 of these conventions, and you've attended a lot of them, not just here, but I know abroad and across the U.S. as well. What's been one of your favorite memories of the TOM in the past, or maybe an act that you've seen or somebody that's impressed you here?
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, it was 1971, a convention here in Houston. Walter Blaney was the chairman and president.
At the Shamrock?
No, it was at the Astroworld Hotel.
Okay.
And we had Carol Fox, Duke Stern, Ab Dixon, and somebody else. It was comedy. It was
Senator Crandall, maybe?
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah. That was him. And it was so funny. I've never laughed that hard in my life.
Yeah.
That is one of the conventions that has really was so memorable for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, you know, I talk with other people. They all say, of course, it's the friends and that you sometimes just see here only, that they don't go to any other conventions except just the TAOM. You know?
Yeah, well, and then, of course, the TAOM 2015 in Austin, Texas.
When you were the president.
Yes. Magic, music, weirdness, and women. That was a fun convention.
It was an awesome convention. That was one of my top 10 conventions. I mean, the way that it was put together and that there was something happening quite literally every moment because you had music in the lobby in between the downtimes or when they were going from one event to the other. And there were, there was magic happening. You had a lot of women who were involved in the evening shows, midnight shows. I mean, day and night, there was something going on.
First only time TAOM has done an all-female show. Mm-hmm. We had some really wonderful performers that joined us.
Was that the one that Steve Daly had emceed?
Yes.
As Tiny Bubbles?
Yes.
Yes. That was a memorable convention. That was a lot of fun. You did a good job. And you were only the second female president.
That's correct.
Yeah. After
Judy Donald. Judy
Holland.
Oh, that's right. Terry Compagna.
Mm-hmm. Because Judy was after you.
Okay, that's
so
right.
So it'd be just the three ladies so far as all.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, Krissa Hendricks is here, and you said that you saw her briefly at the Kadabra convention. You're looking forward to seeing her.
Right. I went to Kadabra for the first time.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, 10 years. I took a hiatus, and I went there to see her. Mm-hmm. And, wow, she gave the best lecture, which I missed, but everybody was just abuzz at what a wonderful lecturer she is and a stunning performer. Her character development, people loved it. She was the highlight of that mm-hmm. convention. So I get to be in the audience this time and see her perform.
Yeah, on the show. I don't know if she's on tomorrow night or Sunday night. I'm guessing Sunday, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we were supposed to have had a lecture earlier this evening, or just right now while we're talking with Dan Haas, and something happened. There's no show. I don't know what the details are, but unfortunately, we had run out of space, apparently, for lecturers. They're supposed to have 10 lecturers, but with him freeing that up, I wish they would have stuck Carissa in there at the last minute, but I'm sure she didn't bring anything with her, but that would have been a nice idea, huh?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what's going on now, collectors.
And that's what we need to go do right now, because the collectors, okay. And then after that is going to be the panel discussion with Danny Garcia and Michael Weber and those guys, too. But I want to hear what's happening to collectors, so let's get on downstairs.
Okay. Deal.
So, from the TAOM, we got more to go here tonight. That was Trixie Bond, and then me, I'm Scotty out.
My eyesight's not good. I had to get 2 feet away from Scott, longtime friend, yeah. To realize it was Scott Wells.
Yeah, I just want to say we just had finished the collectors meeting over there, and we had an interesting thing which was going on simultaneous then with the panel discussion which was going on with Danny Garcia and everybody. But anyhow, Walter Blaney is here with me, and you've been
Coming to TOM for a long time, as I said, that you were actually on this earth for over 90 years because we just celebrated your 90th birthday here this last year. And, if you go back on the podcast, you can actually listen to some of that. It was kind of nice that Copperfield actually called in, did a Skype call.
Yeah, that was just like having him right there, right there in my daughter's living room where we had the party.
And you have you were president many years ago. How many years ago was it?
It was 1971. I was president, and we had a I knew all the working magicians nationwide, coast to coast, worked with them all the time in different non-magic conventions, but just conventions, corporate dates. And invited about 20 of the top working pros to be our acts. And I remember the people that had been in charge of TUM for years were coming up and saying, where did you get all this talent? We didn't even know these people existed.
It's funny you mention that, because when I was talking to Trixie Bond about, you know, some of her memories of the best convention, she said one of the, she said this is actually her 50th convention, because she'd competed in 1968.
50th,
When she was doing like an Alice in Wonderland kind of a thing, and she had won the contest.
I remember her
but she said
that.
It was 1971, and when Walter was president, and she said, I remember that we had, just a minute, Carol Fox and Ab Dixon and Senator
Jay
Crandall
Marshall.
And Jay Marshall. And I forgot.
Don Allen.
Yeah, you had just a bunch of really top guys.
At the time, Caldwell just goes on and on. And Mark and Nani came. We dedicated the convention to them.
Yeah.
And my goodness.
You know, I just recently had done a podcast with Don Weiberg, and he was talking about the Chicago Roundtable, and some of those names, you know, were members of the Roundtable.
I did get to listen to that one.
Did you ever get a chance to go to Chicago to visit the Roundtable?
Yeah, I used to go when I was up there with the show. Then I'd go there, and who was the main old timer that was in kind of in charge of the Roundtable? I can't think of his name now. It'll come to me in a minute, but I can't quite remember.
Right.
But Jay Marshall and Don Allen, all those guys were there.
But for some reason, I was thinking, though, that you were the president when it was at the Shamrock Hotel, but I guess that was not the case when you were president.
Shamrock was like my second home. I did so many shows there. But this was the Astroworld Hotel.
That's what she said, yes.
And do you know the funny story about how they sold out from under us third ballroom? Astroworld Hotel had three ballrooms connected, and they moved the doors away, and it's one big ballroom, or two-thirds, or one-third. And so we, in our contract and everything, we had all three, and we were counting on all three ballrooms, the full convention. Well, the first night, we had a show in just one ballroom, no, in two ballrooms of the three, and then the other one was set up for a cabaret show late at night, up close, and we had, you know, cigarette acts and thimble acts. Mike Gaveney was a teenager, and he did his thimble act and so on. So, but for the next two nights, that was the first night. The next two nights, we still had all three ballrooms because we sold tickets for $1 to NASA one night, and the next night, on Saturday night and on Sunday night, to Gulf Oil.
Okay.
And they bought all the tickets. So we've got another 500. We had 1,000 people at our convention. More than IBM had in New Orleans that same year. We had more. And it was a great convention. And so we see them setting up this next night when we're going to have all three ballrooms, every seat sold, you know. They're setting up for a banquet. And I run down there and talk to the guy in charge and everything. I said, what's going on? He said, well, we knew you weren't going to fill it up. We saw the show last night, and your people all filled up the hall too. So we needed another room for another banquet, a convention banquet, and we sold them that. And I said, no, that's ours.
Right.
We've got 500 more people coming in to see our show. That's how we afforded all the extra acts for the convention. And he said, well, it's too bad. I don't know what you're going to do. And I said, no, it's too bad because I don't know what you're going to do. We're going to have our people come in here. And they said, no, you're not. And so they started rolling in the tables and setting up for the banquet. And so we had got 12 people. And as soon as they'd set up a table, we'd turn it up on its end and fold the legs up and roll it back into the storeroom. And he said, what are you doing? I'm going to call the cops. I said, you do that. And so he did. He had the sheriff come out. Wow. Well, the sheriff was a friend of mine. I'd done free shows for his sheriff's junior posse sort of a thing. Okay. And everything. So I was his friend. And he walks in with his officers and everything. He says, "What's going on, Walter?" And I said, "Exactly what I just said now to you."
Yeah.
And he said, "Do you have the contract?" And I said, "Right here." And he says, "Well,
pretty clear,
Mr. Jacobs, it looks like Walter's winning out here. You don't have that room. That's rented out to this convention."
Right.
And so they had to find another room for
to put those other people.
To put the other people.
Wow.
But can you imagine if 500 people came in to sit and there's no seats?
Right.
Oh, my. That was scary.
Wow.
But we did the right thing. Anyway, that's just a...
That's a funny story. Yes. Yeah. Well, listen, that... we have talked a lot in the past, you know, about a lot of stories and things you've shared, and it was nice also, of course, even just recently that when we were at Magic Live and David Copperfield had your collection, we had that nice...
that was a year ago.
Can you imagine? Was that last year? Boy, time flies.
Yeah, because I just had Magic Live...
This last August, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. You know, and I couldn't believe that's a whole year gone by. Another year of my life gone.
But, now when you go to the museum, you can see part of your life that's there, you know.
And for eternity. And, you know, he's got his museum, I forget the lawyer word for it.
In perpetuity?
What do you call it? The money he's got invested to where it will last his millions of dollars, $500 million, mm-hmm. it's invested to keep running that museum in perpetuity even after he's dead.
Yes, right.
You know, years and everything. So, at any rate, that's...
That's great.
That was a thrill to have the man himself. And you know what was funny? You were there,
Yeah.
He said, "Now, what about this trick? What about this trick?" And it was a fantasy... small cards
that
went to big ones, and I did a magic switch behind a little box with my assistant holding the tray, and she would actually push, and the card case, regular size card case, fell on the floor, and I simply reached down to pick it up, and as I did, the right hand went in the back of the little box on the tray, and stole and made the switch, and came out, and looks exactly the same, and nobody... realized that was when the trick happened, but it was so funny. So David was standing there next to me, and he's holding the tray with the box, and I said, "I moved the little box forward," and he did, and the card case fell on the floor, and I did the switch and everything. I started laughing. He said, "What are you laughing at?" "I'm just thinking I just saw you do the greatest show on earth in magic tonight.
Yeah.
And here you are, you're my assistant, holding a stupid little tray with fake cards." And he got tickled, and the whole crowd, you know, got tickled. And that was just a great, great moment. But he was just a kid again.
Yes.
And he was a teenager when I was at the height of my shows. And I was his idol, he said. I didn't know that until...
As you said that Harry Blackstone Sr. was yours. You know, you were for him. And it was amazing, too, that he did have that childlike innocence and look in his eye, because when he looked at you like a father figure, it's like, I have so much admiration for you. And he said that so many times.
And I just love the guy. David Copperfield is just a great, great guy.
Well, I encourage you guys listening to the podcast to go back and listen to that. You could hear when we were, I had a short visit with David, and also about that whole evening, plus other conversations we've had with Walter and talking about his experience with David Hoy and many other kinds of things that are good stories of going back and listening to. And so I encourage you to go back and listen. But Walter, always a great chance to chat with you.
Well, thanks for having me back on again.
Yes, you're welcome. One of my favorites on the podcast to have over here. And that, again, I enjoyed your birthday party, and looking forward to next year's 91st.
I appreciate you and Kathy, as sick as she was back then.
That was the last time she actually got out of the house. After that,
and,
then she fell ill and was in hospice after that until her end.
And it's just life sometimes just unfair. Yeah, she was a wonderful lady, and we all loved her just as we all love you. Yeah. And but you've held up so well, and it's just things happen and you go on.
You do. And, you know, this podcast has helped a lot also, you know, just the work I've been doing and the people and the nice cards and letters and people, you know, whenever I see them at conventions of that have heard about that. And so it's been very nice.
It's
so
amazing your know-how how to do all that. It's just it's a whole other world.
It is.
I mean, it's just so much. I can barely work my computer.
Oh, my goodness. No, you know, you're doing so well because we, you know, love, like Walter or like David had said, you know, Walter keeps sending those emails because you send links to, like you just talked about this evening, about that you can just do a Google search for Harry Blackstone Seattle. What was the thing?
Live in Seattle.
Live in Seattle.
Yeah, so anybody listening that wants to see the whole Blackstone show.
Senior.
No, this is Junior.
The Junior show, doing his dad's show.
Yeah, trick for trick for trick, and bit by bit by bit, he did his show. But Blackstone Junior is a different personality than Blackstone Senior.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see the difference. But both were great.
Yeah,
I mean, both were just great magicians.
Right.
And it's a great show. Yeah. So if anybody wants to, let's see what we'd say in there.
That was Harry Blackstone Jr.
If they Google Live in Seattle, Blackstone Jr. Magic Show.
Right.
It will come up. Somebody in there.
It's a YouTube thing, yeah. It's like an hour show.
It's for an hour TV show with ads. Mm-hmm. But the show, this show in itself with no ads, is 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's just great. It's just like seeing Blackstone Senior or Junior, either one. But all the good stuff.
But those kinds of things, again, that you seem to find and you keep sending out emails to us, you know, about, hey, did you see this? Or here's a nice little video or whatever.
So I just found out about the Blackstone show, so I'll send that to you and to others as well.
Very good.
But I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Thank you again, Walter.
Well,
so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Walter Blaney, Zany Blaney. This is Scotty out. This is I've got Mike Talon. I was unable to make it to the lecture over there that we just had in the panel discussion. Okay, Walter, thank you very much. I'll see you in the morning at the breakfast, the Willard breakfast. That's going to be interesting. Yeah, I was at the collector's meeting with Walter Blaney there, and so I was just chatting with him. And so now I've got Michael Talon with me because I was missing the panel discussion. I guess they had a problem trying to find the right meeting room at the last minute or something, but nevertheless, so they were supposed to be talking about movie consulting television, or was this television, or a little bit of both? Or
Mostly television.
Okay. Was Michael Weber? I mean, who all was
no,
on? Who
Michael
was on?
Weber was not there.
Who was on the...
It was Daniel Garcia and is it Enrico?
Enrico De La Vega. Yeah.
Enrico and is his wife?
Lisa. Yeah, that's his sister, which I think is
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Brent Braun.
Oh, okay.
And then Weber wasn't there, so they had Xavier
Spade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was pretending to be Michael Weber.
No, I know that that Daniel Haas was supposed to have lectured earlier, and he didn't.
So he didn't make it.
He didn't make it yet. I don't know. Yeah, just kind of.
So they had
an delay
impromptu lecture there.
Oh, they did
and
have a lecture?
Shane Cobalt got up there and showed some card stuff and talked about some stuff.
Okay, so he filled in kind of the last minute just to kind
of... And Xavier got up there and spoke about performing on YouTube. So he spoke for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and then Shane got up there and did some card stuff, did any card, any number trick, and then did a couple coin tricks.
And then explained it?
He explained the any card, any number, and did some coin vanishes.
I thought that Shane was supposed to be giving a lecture on Monday.
He is lecturing on Monday.
So was
this
kind
was just
of
an impromptu thing that they brought these two
But is it
going to
be like a preview kind of what he was doing, you think?
That I'm not sure.
Huh, wonder. So the, again, it's kind of late at night anyhow. You say there are only about 40 or 50 people, I guess, are staying up this late to the consulting thing. You said there are a couple of funny stories?
Yeah. The last question was, what is the strangest thing that's ever happened or the funnest thing that's ever happened. And Daniel Garcia was talking about how he had to be in a hole and have this guy climb over him. And then he had to stay in the hole for an hour because the audience was still there and they were they were taking extra shots.
Oh.
And he was in this hole and he was all muddy and had stuff all over him. And
for a TV show?
For
okay,
yeah,
was that with Blaine
show.
Or somebody?
I don't think it was Blaine. He didn't say, but I don't think it was Blaine.
Yeah. Something else? Is there another story?
That was the last story that I remember.
You can remember? Yeah. But I assume they were just taking questions from the audience?
Well, Jake was asking the questions at the beginning, and then they took a few questions from the audience.
Who was?
Jake Rangel.
Oh, Jacob Rangel. Okay, yes,
he was. He was the moderator.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they took a few questions from the audience.
They say Jake. Was it Jake or David?
Jake, the son.
The son was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
15-year-old.
I was going to say, I'm glad to, I was questioning just because of his youth, and so I'm glad to hear that they actually are incorporating and letting young people get involved like that then as well. Because when I was talking to Danny this afternoon, that he wasn't sure who was going to be moderating it or how that was going to be working out. So, anyhow, sounded like it was some fun.
Yeah, it was really good. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, they mostly talked about TV, and Jake's first question was, you know, if I want to be on TV and be famous, what do I do? And Brent's like, well, if you want to be famous, that's probably not the best thing to do as a magician, just to try to go on TV. And,
yeah,
you know, they've consulted for people on AGT, and they ask, why do you want to be on AGT? And if the answer's not right, then they say, you know, we're not the people that you want to work with.
Right.
So it was that kind of information.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
That was great. Hey there, Doc.
Hey,
good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Hey, Doc Hilpert's here.
The beard.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Okay, sweet.
Kyle, hey, Misty.
Okay.
Everybody here then also. So we'll be chatting with everybody a little bit later. But thank you very much, Michael. I'm glad you kind of gave us a little bit of detail on what's been happening over there. So it's been fun. Full night, and tomorrow morning you're going to be at the breakfast? For
not
Willard?
Not at the breakfast.
Not at the breakfast. Okay, yeah, we got a Willard
we'll
breakfast.
Be at the contest.
And you're going to be in the contest again this year.
At the contest.
Oh, at the contest. What time does that begin?
9.
Okay.
Yeah, so breakfast at 7.
7, yeah.
Contest at 9.
Yep, that's right. A lot of stuff going on.
Busy day.
I'm going to be busy also trying to coordinate people to help with the rooms for the professional close-up show, you know, later. And so, matter of fact, I might call on you to help me with one of the rooms. You want to help with the room?
If you need it.
I will.
Okay. So, you mean like be the announcer?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
just kind of saying, you know, who's up next. What I've got to do is try to coordinate, you know, like who's going to be in what order and which rooms are going to be going to. And Jamie asked me to just coordinate. And so, good. I'll call on you.
If you need it.
So you guys are listening to this and kind of see how the process works here. By the seat of our pants. Anyhow, that was Michael Tallon. Have a good night. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Scott.
For the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. And good night, too.